I've got two of my best friends in the world, Yesu Panam and Monica from India, sitting here in the studio with me. You will be encouraged, edified, stirred today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, this really is a treat. You, friends, are going to be so blessed as we have this conversation with dear, dear friends, Yesu Panam and Monica. If you've never heard Yesu Panam's story of coming to faith, if you've never heard the story of how God brought Yesu Panam and Monica together, if you never heard the story of the work that they're doing in India and in other nations, Madagascar and Germany and other nations, it sounds like stories that we're making up because it's so extraordinary to hear. And yet this is the work of God. This is the gospel. And this is Michael Brown. Thank you for joining me on the broadcast today. If you want to know some of what makes my heart beat, if you want to know some of what we're involved in worldwide in ministry, this will really help you understand. This will really give you another peace of our heart, and I believe that you will be greatly edified and blessed as well. If you have a question you'd like to ask, 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call, 866-348-7884, but I don't plan on taking a lot of calls. Make sure you visit our Facebook page. There is another video that we have posted that it's more shocking news about the selling of aborted baby parts by Planned Parenthood. We posted it on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. And check out my latest article, The Myth of Doing Ministry to Get Rich. Yeah, it's a strange thing you even need to address it, but there is corruption out there and there are a lot of misperceptions. So you'll find that as well. 866-348-7884. If you do want to get into the discussion, without further ado, let me introduce to you Yesu Panam and Monica. Great to have you on The Line of Fire.
It's so good to be here, my friend.
Good to be with you again.
So we were together in India in December, and now you're in the States, and we're just talking about the next trip to India. One of these days, I need to do a public trip to India, like do a tour in Israel and just invite everybody to join me in India one year. What do you think of that?
That would be great.
Monica, how many teams do you have coming through in a year?
Oh, it varies every year, but from August till March, sometimes continuous teams.
So they come from where?
U.S., Madagascar, Germany, Canada, all over.
Korea?
South Africa, Korea.
And how long do they stay?
Some stay a week, 2 weeks, and then we have volunteers that stay up to 6 months.
And they just get involved in the ministry?
Mm-hmm.
And they live with the Indians?
Yes, live with us, eat with us, have a great time together.
And serve together. All right, so friends, we're going to be putting out a call for helpers a little later, but just jot this down, LNCministries.org. L is in love, N is in N, like Nancy, my wife. LNC, as in care. Love and Care Ministry is the name of their organization. So it's LNCministry.org. We'll tell you how you can help in a little while, but we come back. I want to ask Yesu Panam what it means to him to be a follower of Jesus, a man who was raised in untouchable. Completely rebelled against the system, became a violent atheist, communist, alcoholic when Jesus appeared to him in his 20s and he was radically born again. I want to talk about what it means to follow Jesus and give you a little glimpse of the amazing work that's been done through one man who said, Lord, I belong to you. We'll be right back. Prepare to have your heart stirred.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, it does remind you of India, doesn't it? You know, there's a question I'm going to ask Yesu Padma in a few minutes. People talk about Christian yoga, holy yoga. Well, he's Indian, the land from which yoga and these religious practices or exercises originated. So we'll get his take on that in a little while. Michael Brown, great to have you with me on the broadcast today. I'm sitting in studio with Yesu Padma and Monica, two dear friends for many, many years who lead Love and Care Ministries, the website lncministries.org. Yesu Padma, as long as I've known you, your passion for the Lord has been the same. You've prayed with tears. You pray for the lost with tears. You talk about Jesus with tears. What does it mean to you to be a follower of Jesus?
Well, it's exciting to know who Jesus is, first of all. You know, having heard of his name many years through my dad, I really didn't know what it really meant. And then when I had an encounter with the Lord, just him revealing himself in such a powerful way, hanging on the cross, show me the blood drops coming down from the nail-torn hand of the Savior, then speaking to me, calling me son, and saying, yeah, I did all this for you, what will you do for me? That's like a life-changing. I never thought that Jesus is so real. Mm. I thought it was a religion people talk about, read about, but that's so real. Not only just going through those motions, but it changed my life forever. Like an immediate response from me is like, how can anybody miss this reality? You know, this is so real, true, and it changed my life. I was, as you mentioned, alcoholic, gang leader, communist leader, signed with my blood to bring a social revolution. But when I met Jesus, it's totally different story. So it's so exciting. But it's not easy many times to be a Christian in a country like India, where it is mostly Hindu nation.
And is there an increasing hostility in the government now towards Christianity?
There is. You know, it has been, but now more with the present government, which is a Hindu-based government. So they're trying to stop in many ways to spreading of the Christianity. But my experience of the history tells us no power on earth could stop the power of the gospel. Mm. So in spite of the persecutions, and I have broken head, broken bones, we lost some of our pastors there with the Lord, literally killed. But my hope is that there's no way any power on earth can stop or stand before the resurrected power of my Christ. In spite of the kings or the presidents or the governments coming against the Christianity, against the kingdom of God, like it reminds me always what Jesus said. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. Church is not started from a mind of a man. It's not the man's work. It is Christ himself through shedding of his blood on the cross. When Christ starts something, who can stop it? Mm. Saul tried to stop it even in the first century. And then he was being persecuted for the faith. He was persecuting the Christians. That's what I believe. Even in those who are trying to stop the Christianity will become a channel in the hands of the living God, spreading the Christianity. Mm. So though it looks scary sometimes, but I believe with all my heart, it's going to spread and spread.
And you lived in Iraq for a few years back in the days of Saddam Hussein and planted some underground churches there. You're used to living in a country where Christianity is the minority.
Yes.
You're not the ruling party, you're not the majority, you can't say this is a Christian nation, a Christian heritage. What would you say to us in America here, where 75% in the past, 85% of the people said they're Christians, even though we know a lot of them are just cultural Christians, and where we have the sense of there's a certain Christian heritage in America, even though we've never been a totally Christian nation, obviously. And increasingly, our views seem to be the minority views instead of the majority view. What would you say to Christians in America?
You know, I think the Lord is doing something, great things right now in this nation, because church always triumphed in the middle of the persecution. Because of the persecution, the disciples multiplied in the first century. And so I think the Lord is really doing something in the deeper work in the hearts of the Christians, reminding them, waking them up for the very purpose He established church on earth. I think it's time for the church to wake up and get to its senses, understand the very purposes of God as an individual, as a Christians, as a group, as a church, and also as a nation. Especially, there is no other nation on earth like the nation of United States of America, which was founded on the principle that, you know, the only hope I thought when I came first time to America, this is the country. I felt like it was a heaven. But as I've been also watching what is happening, I want to encourage my Christian brothers and sisters, it's time to come back to our senses, knowing that God has raised us for such a time as this, not to be discouraged, but to be like the voices for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen. And Monica, growing up in Canada and now spending a lot of time, of course, living in India, but spending a lot of time every year serving in Germany, then coming back to the States. How do things look to you, being in America now and as a Canadian in your own country? How do things look to you? You've been living in India, what, close to?
18 years.
Close to 18 years. All right. Yeah. So how does it look and feel to you?
Yeah, in many ways, you know, it seems like everything is just getting worse and worse. But wherever we go, we see the gospel spreading, I think, like never before. It's so powerful what God is doing around the world. In India, you know, so much transformation of the villages and individual lives. In Madagascar, in Germany, we feel like so close to revival breaking out in the nation of Germany. So I see God doing great things. It always looks, you know, dark, and everybody focuses on the darkness. It's easier to do that, but we just see God doing amazing things. It's exciting days we live in.
Absolutely. So despite the challenges in India, despite the obstacles in different parts of the world, despite the challenges in America, you're both in a state of encouragement. Is that right?
Yes.
So brother, how do we look at what's happening in the world around us that's wrong without getting weighed down by it? How do we concentrate on what God is doing more than what Satan or the world are doing?
You know, the Bible tells us He's like a roaring lion that trying to devour even the elected ones of God. That He's doing His purposes, what He has to do. But we as Christians has to be more encouraged by seeing what the enemy is trying to do. So for me, like, I see these things, but my focus is Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ on the cross, who is victorious, who is the overcomer. And I want to think victory, dream victory, talk victory. And that's what I believe God has called us to live for.
How do you avoid being in denial? In other words, just denying reality. Because a lot of people, they don't want to face the facts. But when you talk about victory and overcoming, you're talking about the facts, aren't you?
Absolutely. You know, so it is like there's no victory without battle.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just going through the battle sometimes can cause us to be discouraged, the attacks of the enemy. But that's the source of the victory. I like challenge. I want to go through that.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's where you really feel the real victory. I mean, you know that. You pass through that. You have overcome it. And so that's how I see that. Yeah, a church without trials and temptations is not a church. And, like, we need to go through that and overcome that by the grace of God and enjoy it.
Yeah, if you see an athlete, and this athlete is really in phenomenal shape, and they are really trim and fit, maybe a gymnast, and they're working out, you can be assured that that did not happen to them just sitting on the couch, eating potato chips all day, that there is training and discipline and challenge, and many times where they think, I can't do this, and yet that's how they got where they're going. So friends, look at the challenges rather than looking at them as stumbling blocks. Look at them as stepping stones. Look at them as what Satan and the world mean for evil, God will turn for greater good. I want to give you an opportunity, whoever you are, through prayer or gifts God's given you, to be directly involved in a world-changing ministry. Stay with me.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the line of fire. Michael Brown here in studio with my two dear friends, Yesu Potom and Monica. And the second hour, maybe we'll have them tell the story of how God brought them together. We do that periodically. We probably haven't done that for a couple years. But we'll let you hear that later. If you say, but I don't get the second hour of my radio, not a problem. Just go to my website later today, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. A few hours from now, we get the broadcast up very quickly, thanks to Joey and our team working on it so diligently. And it's there free online. So just go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest broadcast. You'll be able to listen to all of it. Post it on Facebook, tweet it out, share it with your friends. All right, so I've been to India basically every year since 93. There was the 1 year with the terrible terrorist attack in Mumbai just as I was supposed to fly in. We couldn't fly in, and but I came a second time another year. So it's been basically every year, God willing, the 23rd trip now in December. And I've watched the ministry work grow. It's mind-boggling to see what's been done. And I know folks have helped donate time and energy for the website and things, but if the ministry is a 10, the website is a 1 in terms of conveying what's going on there and helping people get involved. I had a look to figure out, it said support LNC, but then I realized I had to click on another place to sponsor a pastor or an orphan or child. So here's what I'm requesting, all right? Here's the website. If you're not driving in your car and you're able to go there now, it's LNC, as in love and care, lncministries.org. I want you to go there. If you are a professional web designer and are willing to donate your time and energy for a sacred purpose, okay, and help redesign this website so that the maximum lives can be touched, the maximum number of lives can be touched, the maximum number of people impacted. That's all where it goes. You go to India 1 year and you'll say, what can I do? How can I help? What can I do? How can I serve? You'll be blown away. But trust me, everyone that goes is. They're amazed to see what's come out of a single ministry. But it's not just India. It's around the world. Maybe you're a professional videographer. Just confirmed with Yesu Potom right before the show that they need an updated video of what's happening in the ministry. Maybe your professional photographer could serve in that way. Go to the website right now, lncministries.org. And if you are one of those people and you say, yeah, I want, this is not for you to make profit. This is for the kingdom. You say, I want to help. I want to be involved with this. On the website, just says contact us. Tell them, hey, I was listening to the show or I saw the post on Facebook. Here's what I do. How can I help? And they will get back to you. Others say, well, I'm not any of those. I'm not a professional videographer, or photographer, or web designer. Well, sponsor a child. How much does it cost, Yesu Potom, now to sponsor a child monthly?
$25.
$25.
It's food, accommodation, education, everything.
All right. Did you get that? It's food, so all the meals they need. They don't have to buy any food ever. Accommodations, so they can sleep and have their basic daily needs met. So food, clothing, shelter in that respect, and a high-level education. the school is so respected that Hindus and others in the area use it when there's official governmental testing. That's where they do it there. $25 a month. Come on. You can go with a family of four to McDonald's for one meal and spend more than $25. You can go to a fancy restaurant and barely get a meal or an appetizer in some places for $25. That's for a month. And when you meet these kids, they are some of the sweetest, precious kids, and they love Jesus and they follow the Lord. It's amazing. What about to support a pastor full time?
$50 a month.
Friends, we're not making these figures up. $50 a month. This is a pastor in the tribal region. Now, I've been in these tribal regions, and if you drop me off there to live, I wouldn't make it. The conditions are rugged. The food is rugged. The spiritual atmosphere, I mean, literal threats to lives with radicals and things like that. It's so difficult, very, very hard even to raise your kids out there and see them properly nourished. So $50 to support them full time.
Yes.
So they can just be doing the work of the gospel, evangelizing, reaching others. How many churches has your ministry planted? Not actively overseeing every one of them, but how many have been planted through Love and Care Ministries?
So over 7,000 churches at least.
At least 7,000. And the great majority of these church planters are not supported. So that means they have to, and you say, well, haven't they planted churches? Yeah, but the churches are in tribal regions and the people there have nothing to give. So it's not like America where if you have 100 people and they're all tithing, well, you got a decent amount of money. It's not the same there. So go to lncministries.org, click on sponsorships, okay? We don't have some commission thing here where I get a split from the money that comes in, or this person, part of this goes into their personal account. No. The money goes 100% exactly where we've said. So sponsor a child, $25 a month, or a tribal pastor, $50 a month. You can actually go there, pray over it, and ask the Lord, who should I get behind? Maybe your church can get behind some of them. Click on sponsorships, and we need to hear from someone, a professional web designer, professional videographer, photographer, and God will use your gifts to reach people that you'd never be able to reach. Monica, what happens to the people that come and visit, the teams that come? How are they impacted?
Well, they definitely go back totally changed, more willing to serve in their own countries where they come from. And they just see God moving in ways that many of them have never seen before, but also they've been used in ways they haven't been used before. And they realize, hey, God can use me. And then they come back to their own countries willing, just like, Lord, where do you want to use me here? And then their lives are just totally changed.
And friends, the same philosophy that they've operated under in India, they've taken to Germany, a completely different country, completely different culture, completely different spiritual environment. And yet, would you say you're seeing the same fruit there?
Absolutely. Yeah. It shocked me even, seeing that all the people on the streets, drug addicts, alcoholics, homeless people being transformed and tears in their eyes and change your lives. And, it's amazing to me that God would take somebody like me, an untouchable boy left to die on the street with starvation and feeding those people there every Saturday, every Thursday.
Amazing.
And so gospel has the same power anywhere it works.
Right. So that means in America, that means wherever you're listening to me, around the world, same Jesus, same gospel, same spirit, same power, same fruit. Friends, visit us at askdrbrown.org. Remember, we'll post the entire interview a little later today, so you can click on latest broadcast to listen to that. We have our weekly resource offer. You can check that out as well. But I want to encourage all of you, go to lncministries.org. Get involved.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Later in the broadcast, I want to talk about, is there such a thing as holy yoga? I want to talk about revolution and culture wars, and should we be involved or not? I want to talk about that with my guests, dear friends, Yesupadam and Monica. But let's talk about Madagascar. Yesupadam, where is Madagascar, and how would you describe the country?
No, Madagascar is the fourth largest island in the world, with 22 million people living there, the 11th poorest country in the world.
Mm.
It's between India and South Africa. It's on the coast of South Africa, and it's just 2-3 hours flight from there. The people that are living there are very poor. It was a French colony, and no gospel, you know, so it's... One of the poorest countries that I have seen as an Indian. And my heart really, God broke my heart for that. And a friend of us who is a South Korean went there 4 years ago and invited me. I went there and we did the crusades in four major cities connected to the largest church in the country, which has 15,000 people. Then I started preaching the gospel, training the leaders, started schools for the children on the streets, and we have three schools. One of the schools, which started 2 years ago with 80 children, now has 560 children in 2 years. And then, planting churches, went to the prison there and preached in the prison, 1,000 inmates, 800 gave their hearts to the Lord. I was asked to build a church inside the prison. They said first time ever in the country they have the church inside the prison. And then we built it in 3 months, and every day the prisoners go there to worship. And last year I had a privilege of being in the church, in the prison, 3 days continuously, worshiping with them, raising hands and praising God. And it's amazing. And we also are actually involved there, not only feeding the poor people on the street, feeding the children every day. Started an orphanage, first orphanage to the bush people. And one of my heart's desire for that country, they don't have a Bibles there. The pastor of one of the largest churches told me, a church with 800 people has one Bible.
Mm.
That broke my heart. And so I've been praying. 2 years ago, we bought 3,000 Bibles. But my heart is, buying Bibles is spending a lot of money, wasting money. Buying a printing press instead of that, they can print the Bibles there. They don't have a school curriculum. And my friend Cho wrote me 2 weeks ago that it only costs like $20,000 to buy a used printing press from South Korea and ship it to Madagascar, which may they cost another $15,000. So total $35,000. We can buy a printing press, ship it to Madagascar, where we could be able to print Bibles and the school curriculum for the schools. So that's on my heart. Actually, the Lord has provided us last week around $10,000 already towards the printing press.
Really?
Towards that goal. We are very excited to go back next month. You know, it have enough money to buy the printing press and take it to Madagascar and so that they can print the Bibles there.
Incredible. And what language do they speak there?
Malagasy
is
the main language. And they also speak French in the schools.
And the bush people,
yeah,
they're just tribal people that are even poorer?
Exactly. Actually, the people that there's no roads at all to go to those people, these bush people. You have to go by a boat and a river. And we're also supplying them the solar system because there's no electricity there. It's a very little amount of money that brings a big change. To me, God has opened the whole country to reach the country with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. When you hear about the man that God is using there, you'll be even more amazed. We'll tell you about that when we come back.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's Indian music. Is it secular music? Is it Christian music? I don't know the words there. But I'm sitting here with Yesupadam and Monica Yesupadam, of course, born and raised in India, was an untouchable, almost died of malnutrition as a young boy. God miraculously preserved him, then saved him, and he's been used mightily all over India and around the world. His wife, Monica, will tell you the story in the next hour, how God brought them together, but born and raised in Canada, and now living in India about 18 years. So Madagascar, you're talking about the phenomenal work that God has done there. But let's talk about the man that God is principally using there. His name is Cho, and he comes from Korea. And I first met him, I believe it was 1990. I was speaking at a missions Bible school there and then preaching at night and doing leaders' meetings as well. And this fellow came up to me. What I remember about him was he was missing one hand, his right hand, so just a stump at the end of the wrist there. He had on kind of a tattered T-shirt, so he looked like he didn't have much money. His English was very, very broken. And he said, pray for me. I believe God wants to use me to be a missionary in India. And I thought, oh, yeah, right. Sure. God's gonna. That's what I thought outwardly, but I said, who knows what God wants to do? Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So, of course, God sent him to India. Yesupadam, when he got there, did he look to you like a likely candidate? Did you see something in the spirit, or did you have the same questions I did initially?
Outwardly, I went through the same questions that you went through. But I saw the desire in his heart for the Lord.
Mm.
And like you said, very poor. His hand was crushed in a printing press.
Yeah.
That brought him to the Lord. But his desire always is for the Lord.
And, you know, I knew, of course, about his hand being crushed in an accident. I didn't know it was in a printing press.
Yeah,
how,
it was the printing press.
Isn't that wild, of all things, after what we just talked about? Okay. How did God use him and other Koreans in India?
You know, he became really a mighty instrument in the hands of the Lord to bring literally hundreds of Koreans to India, especially the Bible college students and the missionary school that Ansarang, that you used to go and teach there.
Yeah.
And that impacted so many of them. Today, they're in so many countries as a missionaries that were there as students and that came to India. They stayed with us long term, short term. And he became really a great blessing to that country and also India. At one time, the Lord really provided finances for the whole ministry of love and care from Korea.
So he connected then with businessmen and other people that had finances in Korea.
Exactly.
And they then got involved supporting the ministry in India, which
yes.
I never would have seen him doing that just at the first meeting. I mean, now when you're with him, you see who
exactly,
he is.
Yeah.
What about learning the language? It couldn't be easy.
You know, learning Telugu, the language we speak, is not easy. My wife is, after 18 years, she still says that it's difficult for her.
Yeah.
She understands, but when they were there, he learned the language, and he sang a CD. Now, we used to have the CDs, the cassette.
Yeah.
In Telugu, he sang songs, worship songs. I mean, it was so talented. You could never say that it's a non-Telugu person who sang those songs.
Amazing.
That was amazing.
So,
yeah.
Look, I've been there all these years, and I understand just a couple of words. You know, I've heard the translation endlessly of my messages, and it's very foreign to me. So, Monica, learning Telugu, talk about it.
Well, it's been rough, and I can't say that I know enough, but I know enough to get by, to go shopping, and it is a hard language to learn. But the worship, someone we just met said they only knew two words, Yesaya for Jesus and Hallelujah and all the worship. And it was the most powerful worship they'd ever been a part of.
Really?
And I love that part of it.
Now, so for someone coming from Korea, where you have, I don't know if it's easier from English to Telugu or Korean to Telugu, but either way, it's the completely foreign on every level. Have you ever seen anyone learn the language the way Cho learned it?
Well, Cho and his wife, Deborah, both really just learned it so quickly. No, it's very unusual, and it's very difficult to learn even the alphabet. It's just a script.
Yeah, and we had a team come over, and they were going to learn songs and sing them in Telugu. But, you know, you kind of had to tell the Indians what we were singing because they didn't get it. But with these, they thought they were real. When they listened to the songs, it sounded like real Indian singing.
Yeah. But they were so gifted. Now they're in Madagascar. They speak the Malagasy language. So fluent. I was so shocked.
Amazing.
And French as well.
Yeah, the French
and
as
French.
Well.
Yes. Yeah. You got to be kidding me. Okay, so these are the people that God has used. How in the world did they get to Madagascar? Most people never even heard of it. From Korea to India, that's enough of a jump. But now from India to Madagascar?
No, he wanted to be in the ministry. Mm-hmm. So he had some problem with the finances. He wanted to make some money. So he heard somehow online that there is some kind of mud that available that can be used to manufacture some of the cosmetics the woman uses.
Mm-hmm.
So he went there for business, actually.
Really?
To import mud from there, which would be used for cosmetics. Then he fell in love with that country. And he stayed there. He started writing me that it's a great country that needs great Jesus. Said, I ignored it totally. I didn't think that that's my God's plan for my life. So we were going actually to South Africa. Then it's not far from there. Then I thought, we are already in South Africa. Why don't we just take another flight? I went there, and they organized in four major cities, all every night crusade, every daytime, hundreds of pastors and leaders to equip them. They took care of all the expenses, to put it up and everything. And so once I was there, I felt like I was in India.
Mm.
And the hunger in the hearts of the people. People come and sit on the floor like in India. They set up a temporary sound system and stage. So I literally felt like I was in India. Now, though it's an African country, but people are brown, like my color. Their hair is like African, but the color is like my color.
Mm.
And I don't know why God linked them with me. And I couldn't stop going there. It will be my fourth year going there. And just preaching and doing the things.
If someone's listening and say, look, I want to work for God, I just don't know how. I'm married with kids, I work a job, I don't think I have special gifts, I made some mistakes in the past. What do they do today, tomorrow? What does that person do?
You know, bro, there is nothing that can stop them doing what God called them to do. And, so they can actually, there are many ways they can involve. They can support the work that's being done. They can pray for that work. And no weakness should stop them to do what God called them to do. We are all weak. We all go through those motions in our lives. We are not strong, but Jesus is strong. But there is, once you understand the need out there, but especially me going there to Madagascar, which I never thought, seeing what God has done in 4 years, for me, like, what can stop me?
Mm.
Literally, what can stop me to do what God called us to do? So I would encourage them to step out and check it out. Take a trip and see what God will do.
Mm.
And if
there aren't finances or God doesn't provide them to take a trip around the world, step out where God is working.
Amen.
In every city, there's got to be something that God's doing, or poor people being reached, or drug addicts being converted, or believers being set free, or something happening. Find out what's happening, and every ministry has some kind of need, whether it's prayer, whether it's service, whether it's giving. And if you say, hey, I just want to do something, most local churches, they have a whole lot of needs. Most local churches are American system. The pastor and a few people do most of the work. So if you want to do something, there are a lot of opportunities.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we just got a few seconds before the break. Monica is is it impossible for a foreigner to get fully involved and work in a foreign country and be accepted?
No, by the grace of God, if he calls us someplace, he has a purpose for us to be there, and he'll use us, you know, for who we are in that place where we are. And I've traveled to so many countries, see the same thing in every country.
Yeah, amazing. So we'll tell more of that story in the next hour. If you miss any of it, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest broadcast. While you're there, make sure you click on latest article. I address the myth that people get involved in ministry work to get rich. God provides for his work, but it is kind of a funny thing you get accused of falsely all the time, especially by the world. So why is that? What's the truth? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. I can't wait to go back to India. It's a very sacred responsibility and privilege I have every year to go there. I've been to many countries, but the only one that's a fixed thing to go every year a certain time is India. Speaking to Yesupadam and Monica, the ministry, Love and Care Ministries, the website lncministries.org. Yesupadam, early on in our relationship, you felt that there was something sacred about it. You sensed the depth of it before I did, and as you often do, you see things before I do, that God's given you a lot of spiritual perception. But you saw the significance, not just of our friendship in the Lord. You know, I saw the potential of ministering together and what God could do, and wondered if I could serve India and be a blessing in that respect, and knew your heart for the Lord respected that. But I remember something that you said early on, but there was something sacred because it was Jew and Gentile.
Exactly.
Being joined together. And because everywhere I go, I'm working with Gentiles around the world, you know, I'm just there to serve, and I know I'm Jewish, and there's a certain element that I bring. But there was something you saw, you felt. Explain that.
You know, I always respected Jewish people for one reason, Jesus being Jewish. But first time, the first Jewish man I ever met was in Virginia Beach, Jeff Gold. And I had the greatest privilege of leading that man to the Lord.
Wait, hang on. The first Jewish person you met, face-to-face,
yes,
you led to the Lord.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
And that blessed me, and I started praying, and that really spoke to me. A Jew and Gentile relationship is the fulfillment of God's plan for the church.
Mm.
So when I met you, that's what that came to me. I always felt like, you know, being used together, but that relationship together for the purposes of God, to me, is very crucial.
Now, do you think that's something just for you, or a picture for the whole church in terms of Jew and Gentile unity in Jesus?
I believe this is for the whole church.
Why?
I believe it's very crucial, because that's God wants us to be together as one body.
Mm-hmm.
We are not separated. I mean, in many ways we are separated, but when we come to Jesus, we are one body. And we, you know, as Romans says, like, we should be one in the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I think that's very crucial.
And do you think, I don't mean this in a magical way or some kind of gimmick, but do you think that there's an anointing on that, that somehow the smile of God or the Spirit of God specially blesses that?
You know what? That's why I believe with all my heart, my relationship with you, Love and Care Ministries, is so blessed.
Hmm.
And even you coming to us, like I, as you said, it's not like a superstitious or like a psychological thing, but I believe there's something that God laid on the Jewish people.
Mm.
And their words, like whatever you say, I take it as a word from the Lord. I mean, everything you say, it's like to me, so important.
Mm.
But the word you preach us, it's like an oracle of God. I feel so honored that I would have a Jewish friend like you for life. Mm. I mean, you're talking like for 23 years of relationship. And that respect that I have for you, number one, as a Jewish brother, a believer. And then the way our relationship goes. And many people may not know that. Our relationship is not based on money.
Oh, no.
It's based on relationship.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's very key for the church to understand that. There is something in that blood, that Jewish thing, that God blesses it. And I feel like I'm becoming a part of that blessings which God has given to Jewish people. Just being with you and everywhere you came with me, God blessed that work. Mm. And I see that very clearly.
Yeah, it's a privilege and honor. I feel the honor is entirely mine that I'm able to serve and work with you in India and the nations. And Monica, we can't talk about this in depth, but something very unusual happened where, let's just say, some leaders from Israel, Jewish leaders, ended up at your very house in India and in your very ministry. Share whatever you can share.
Okay, yes. We had a team come, partly from the Knesset and other leaders, and they came to us connected with a Christian organization. And they knew that Christians are the ones who care the most for them. And so they...
So these were leaders from the Israeli parliament, the Knesset?
Yes, the Knesset.
Okay.
Yes, a rabbi.
All right.
And some others. And they came to us, and they went actually to Delhi to meet with government officials, but they came to Love and Care Ministries as well. We had an amazing connection. And we literally rolled out the red carpet for them.
Literally, there was a red carpet. They literally rolled out.
And we showed them how much Christians pray for them as Jews and Israel, and that we love them. It was a powerful time.
How did they respond?
You know what? Maybe I should also share it along with my wife. The wife of a rabbi, he came. He was also a politician. He was a tourism minister for 2 terms for the government of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So she writes to the Jerusalem Post every day. She is more famous than her husband, according to them.
Mm.
She also came. When they came to see us, spend time with us, they went to the children. And the children started singing Christian songs. And they sang a song, Shalom, Shalom. The Lord is building Jerusalem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they started weeping. And I want my wife to say, they share that, what Rabbi's wife said it.
She said, I live in the Bible every day, but here I've seen the Bible lived out.
Really?
She said,
wow.
There were tears in their eyes. This member of parliament from the high-level government officials to came with the government of India officials. They stayed with us 2 days. Powerful time.
Amazing. You sent me the pictures and everything, and just I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was mind-boggling to hear, and folks that, you know, I'd be honored if I could have an audience with them, but as a Jewish believer in Jesus, it might not happen. Here you entertain them, the same house I've sat at, your dinner table had meals, the same grounds. Here they are with the red carpet rolled out, and touched, provoked by the children. Friends, I remember our second trip to India, as the children were praying in a church service on Sunday morning, on their knees, just on the dirt floor, eyes closed, hands raised, praying for the lost, and tears started streaming down their cheeks as they were praying for the lost. Little kids as young as 5 or 3 on their knees praying. And the Americans that were with me looked at that and thought, if that's Christianity, I'm not even saved. They were so moved by the tears of these children. And they pray for the salvation of Israel as well. Friends, you can join in. You can participate by going to lncministries.org. LNC as in love and care. lncministries.org. Click on sponsorships to sponsor one of these children or a tribal pastor. My bottom line today, God delights in taking the most unlikely people and using them for his glory. That's what he's done to Yesopotam and Monica to change the world. I've got two of my best friends in the world, Yesu Panam and Monica from India, sitting here in the studio with me. You will be encouraged, edified, stirred today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's a lot we could talk about. In America and worldwide, there is another shocking video. Planned Parenthood senior executive Mary Gatter haggles over baby parts prices, changes abortion methods to extract more human baby parts for resale and reuse. We posted that 6 hours ago on Facebook. It's reached over 1,200,000 people, already been shared over 7,000 times. Be sure to see that. We could talk about Iran in the Friday prayers this past Friday. So this is after the announcement of all of the progress with the nuclear deal. A senior Iranian leader standing behind a podium declared, the podium declared, "We will trample upon America. This is our peace partner." We could talk about that, but we're not going to. We're not going to talk about either of those things today. We are going to talk about what God is doing, not just in India, but around the world, and how you can be part of it, whoever you are, wherever you live. I want to tell the amazing story of how God brought Yesu Panam and Monica together. Want to talk about a practical issue. Is there such a thing as holy yoga or Christian yoga? Who better to ask but an Indian who grew up around these things? And I want to get a world gospel perspective from my friend Yesu Panam on the culture wars, the social cultural revolution. Am I wasting my time? Are we wasting our time getting engaged with these? We'll have some interaction, but call a friend, text a friend, send out a note, email, social media, to turn on the radio or to get online and listen right now. Online, you can listen anywhere. And your cell phone, through your cell phone, tablet, computer, anywhere in the world, just by going to AskDrBrown, AskDrBrown.org, this hour or the hour before, and you can listen live from wherever you are. If you have a question, I don't plan on taking many calls, but if you have a question for Yesu Panam and Monica, number to call 866-34-TRUTH. Yesu Panam and Monica, we had a great first hour. Welcome back to The Line of Fire.
Thank you for being here, my
Thank
friend.
Thank you.
All right, great to have you here. Yesu Panam, what year did you first come to America?
It was 1988.
1988, so you were raised in Untouchable, raised in India, traveling over to America. Was that culture shock?
Shock, talk about shock. I was in the New York airport. First time I came there, I was thirsty. And I watched people going to a mission there and water coming, they're drinking. I was thirsty, I went there and no water coming. So then I went back, sat down, I watched another man going, and there was a water coming. So when I went there was no water coming. When other people went there was a water coming. I never saw the water fountain before. Accidentally, I touched somewhere, and the water started coming. So I didn't even know that I need to touch somewhere to get the water.
And is it true when you first saw an ATM machine and money coming out that you thought there was a little person inside?
Exactly.
All right. So we're talking about culture shock. And here God has used Yesu Panam as a leader around the world. And then Monica, you've had your share of culture shock as a Canadian living in India.
Oh, yes. There's nothing that's the same between those two countries.
No, kind of the reverse culture shock of what Yesu Panam experienced. All right, friends, we're going to tell you the story of how God brought this couple together. It's wild. It's God. It shows you his amazing plan. And it shows you, if you'll give your life to him, whoever you are, whatever your background, he'll use you in ways that will shock you and amaze you. All right, you're good. Yeah.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, that's some music from India. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Okay, so I first come to India with Nancy in 1993, and we traveled for about 45 hours from leaving our house to flights, to trains, to drives until we arrived at the tribal region in Paderu. It was rainy out. The crowd was smaller than was expected. We felt this tremendous pressure that something has, revival has to break, to something has to happen kind of thing. And as we drove up, the music was playing, and Nancy and I looked at each other, and our hearts kind of sank because we thought, oh no, that's Hindu music. And I knew you in the spirit. In other words, I knew your heart, your passion for the Lord, but I didn't know anything about your ministry beyond or talking really back then. There's no such thing as going to a website and looking at things in 93. And so I remember this feeling of sadness, like, oh, I guess he's trying to reach the people culturally, and he's using, you know, like Hindu-sounding music to bring them in, then he preaches them, but I don't think that's right. This is just what I'm thinking to myself. Well, it was simply my lack of knowledge that that was not Hindu music, that was Indian music, and that the reason that I associate it with Hinduism, because that's the only time I really heard it, was in that kind of context, but it was just national Indian music, those kinds of sounds, but these were wonderful gospel songs. So Yesupadam, I'm sitting here with Yesupadam and Monica from Love and Care Ministries. Is it the same with yoga? First, tell us what's happening in India with yoga. And then secondly, could it be that just like the sound, I thought it was Hindu, but it was just Indian. Could it be that these are just exercises, positions? So we have now what's called Christian yoga, holy yoga. I'm asked about it, and I'm no expert in it. So I'm asking you directly, first, what's happening in India with yoga? And second, as an Indian, what's your perspective on this Christian yoga, holy yoga movement in America today?
Well, this is the first time in the history of the world yoga is considered to be one of the international thing. So this year, United Nations actually announced International Yoga Day.
Wow.
One of the main reasons is in India right now, we have the BJP government, which is a totally Hindu political party. So yoga is, it looks like exercises for health. But actually, the origin of yoga is the different ways of worshiping Hindu deities. Even some of the movements they make, each one has a name. If you understand that Sanskrit word, the meaning of that one, it's like worshiping a certain god. Every movement we do is a sign of worshiping different so-called gods and goddesses. It is one of the major part of Hindu religion.
Mm.
It's very clear, and that's why the present Hindu government wanted to make it as an international thing. That's one way of promoting Hinduism around the world. So I was actually in Sioux City one time in Iowa in a church. I saw one sister having a holy yoga t-shirt on. I mean, it struck me. And I prayed for her at the end of the meeting, and I met her, and I said, "Sister, there's no holy yoga. I mean, yoga is a, people think it's just an exercise, but I said, it's not just an exercise. It's the different ways of worshiping Hindu so-called gods and goddesses." And she was not happy. She was upset. We didn't know that. And then after some time, she wrote me an email later on, how she was convicted.
Mm.
And then she confessed it, what she went through that evening when I was talking to her. And she confessed it and said, "I'm sorry, I was angry, I didn't like what you said." Then I realized that I was wrong. Then she stopped doing that. So this is one way of exporting Hinduism to the nations of the world.
Mm. So this is different than notes on a scale. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, said, "Every note belongs to the Lord, and if the devil stole any of them, we'll take them back, to paraphrase. So in other words, whatever the tune, whatever the musical sound in itself could be neutral and could be used for the glory of the Lord. I mean, maybe something is dissonant and it's negative, but otherwise, it doesn't matter the tune. So if you're singing in the bar a certain tune about getting drunk, he'll take that tune and put gospel words to it and use it for the Lord. Martin Luther did the same kind of thing. But you're saying this is different because this is not the movements are not neutral.
Exactly. The movement itself is like worshiping.
All right. So how does this potentially open the door to a wrong spirituality or something demonic, in your opinion?
Part of it, you meditate on it.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your mind open. You also use the word Om, which is a very important word in Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
Though when the time of meditation is opening up your mind so totally to the spirits to come in, though that would be a lot of other spirits, not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So they will take over, you know.
And I'd like to add, this lady also wrote that after she stopped doing it, there was so much freedom in her life. She totally changed, and then she realized the effect that it had on her life.
So you're also saying that if instead of Om, people said some other word or were meditating on Jesus, that they're just mixing things, in your view?
Yeah, that to me, it's a deception.
Got it. All right, hey, friends, I get asked this question a decent amount, and it came up today over lunch. So there you have the perspective of someone who knows it a whole lot better than most of us. All right, let's talk about not just your testimony, Yesu Panam, how you got saved, or Monica, how you were raised in the Lord. We shared some of those things in the past. But let's talk about the miracle of your marriage. And let's go back first. You were married to an Indian woman, a godly woman, Padmini. She got stricken with cancer, should have died. Her life was preserved. But then she did die. She was crippled from cancer, yes. It spread through her brain cancer, spread through her spine, and she was crippled. She was pronounced dead. You were in the hospital when it happened.
Yes.
What happened next?
Yeah, I was sitting there literally thanking God. She was supposed to die in 83. But the Lord extended her life for her, like 9 more years. So I was thankful for God extending her life. I was sitting there by the side of her bed, praising God, thanking Him for extending her life and asking God to give me grace. Then suddenly she opened her eyes, and I was shocked.
The doctors had pronounced her dead.
Yes. And then I said, what happened? And before, she was like, did you see me going up? I said, what? And then she started explaining. She knew she was dead. She was going up. And then she said she entered into a place where she felt like there was a presence of the Lord. She said she heard like a music, worship, people worshiping God. She said she didn't understand the language. She wanted to see Jesus there. And she was calling. She called twice, Jesus, Jesus. Then she started realizing she was coming down.
Mm.
And then she said, I opened my eyes and you are sitting there. Then she got up from the bed, the lady whose spinal were affected, everything on the bed. She got on the bed, started jumping up and down, sitting and standing up. Then the doctors and the nurses saw her. They came running. I could still hear her saying in English, Doctor, Jesus healed me. No more cancer.
Wow.
And she lived 2 more years after that.
And we met her.
Yes.
We met her after that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she went to be with the Lord.
Right.
All right. Yeah. So this part of the story is giving some of your hard time already, but you have to know the man, you have to know the ministry, and this was not some big hype. This is what Jesus did. It shook the hospital, didn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, so you were then committed, you'll just be single the rest of your life.
Yes, I was married for 21 years.
And you had two kids now who were teenagers now, older teenagers. You're just going to be single
the rest of my life,
right?
And just be single-minded, serving the Lord and bringing up the kids.
All right, and then we've just got a minute, so we get to the real good part of the second story now on the other side of the break. But some brothers counseled you, right?
Right.
What did they tell you?
They said, it's not good for me to be alone. I should marry. I need a helpmate. So these are the godly men that started and showing me some ladies, good ladies. I know them, and I didn't want to marry. Totally no desire. Then I said, Lord, if I have to marry again, she must be white skin, blonde hair, blue eyes. She should come and ask me. I thought I was blocking the way totally so that I don't have to think about this godly man coming and trying to convince me to marry.
All right. In other words, as an Indian praying for someone with white skin, blue eyes, blonde hair, and then the lady is going to come ask him, would be like you saying, okay, God, if I'm supposed to marry, the person has to be green, she has to have purple eyes, she has to fly into my house, and she has to announce, I'm the one. It was that crazy a prayer. And I'm sitting here across from Monica, blonde hair, white skin, blue eyed. Yeah, you're guessing what comes next. You got to hear this. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me take a minute and make a very, very important announcement that literally could affect countless thousands of lives. And it might be something that you could personally get involved with. If you're able now, go to this website. If you can't go there right now, jot this down, lncministries.org. LNC, that's in love and care, lncministries.org. We need a professional web designer to redesign this website from beginning to end. This is, I don't know any ministry anywhere in the world, literally, that with one single ministry is doing more to plant churches and care for the needy, educate children and orphans, work with the handicapped, work internationally to spread the gospel, and on it goes. I don't know any one ministry that's doing all these things together the way this one ministry is. And all the money that comes in goes right back out to meet all the needs. We'll tell you in a little while about everything that they're doing and that they're involved with. But some of you have the gifts, the ability, that what might cost $20,000 or $30,000 for someone to do, you can say, hey, I'm put aside a few extra hours every week and knock this thing out. But I encourage you to contact them. I'm hoping a number will contact, and they'll be able to say, okay, let's work together. Trust me, if you could spend a week there in India and you're a web designer, you'd say, well, I've got to help. I want every one of these kids sponsored. I want every one of these tribal pastors sponsored. I want the whole world to know about this. And we all know a tremendous amount of what happens via the website. Not only so, maybe you're a professional videographer or professional photographer. They have needs for someone to go over. For example, the ministry video there that's on the site is a good number of years old. They need a newer one that will give everyone a feel for the work that's happening there so that people around the world can pray, can get involved, can be inspired, and can give. A photographer, that would be a great gift as well. So you'd fly over to India. When you're there, they'll put you up on the base there. You get involved, see what's happening. Web designer, you wouldn't need to go over there. Videographer, photographer, you would. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you about it, all right? So go to the website, lncministries.org, and where it says right on the top where it says contact us, just shoot them a note. They're listening right now and know that you're going to be contacting them. And I guess email is the simplest thing, right? Email, obviously, anywhere in the world, it's going to be the same contact. So if you want to contact their India branch, though, you want to contact them directly in India, the India email, okay? And let them know who you are, what you're doing, and trust me, friend. Even the family picture is a few years old. You got to update the family picture. All right. None of us here get anything from it. Obviously, this is going to help extraordinary ministry around the world. All right, Monica, when did you know that you were called to India?
India was 96.
96. So you're living in Canada, mm-hmm. Canadian. Did you feel like I don't belong in Canada? I'm not a real Canadian.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Interesting.
Since I was 12, I felt called to be a missionary.
Okay.
But God hadn't made any place clear to me.
All right.
Did a lot of short-term missions, and God brought me back to Canada, kind of settled down in a job. All my dreams were dead, and one day God put India on my heart.
All right, so 1996, how old were you?
Around 26, 27.
All right. Now, you go to India. Talk about the different culture shock you experienced living there.
Well, initially, I was just thrilled to be on Indian soil. Mm-hmm. I loved the food. I loved the culture. I loved everything about it.
Which is not normal for a Westerner.
Yeah. It was clearly God's call for mm-hmm. me to be there, although I didn't know it at the time when I first got there.
Yep.
Realities came later. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is so different.
Yeah.
And then marrying and raising children in a different culture, the realities came along the way.
Got it. All right. Now, would you say that by nature you are a very aggressive confrontational, step out, break with the crowd kind of person?
Yesupam and I are two opposites.
Okay, so he'd be the just bold, step out, do anything, and you'd be the meek, quiet.
I think so.
All right, yeah, I can confirm that all the years we've known each other. So how in the world do you end up with Yesupam as your husband?
Well, he prayed an impossible prayer, and God had to answer it, right?
All right, so remember, friends, as pastors and leaders are urging him to remarry after his first wife, Padmini, had died. Really, the second time she died, God raised her up, and then she died a couple of years after that. And that's when we got to know her in that short period of time. So he says, okay, God, you want me to marry? Remember, he's not an American. He's not thinking in American or Western ways, all right? He's not Scandinavian, where half the people there are going to, you know, fit his description. He or more. He's praying as an Indian. Okay, you want me to marry somebody? Says an Indian woman, right? Send me an Indian woman with white skin, blue eyes, blonde hair, and she has to propose to me. So he knows God will never answer that prayer. He'll never be married. So go ahead.
Well, my story is in 1990, just out of Bible school, God led me to pray a crazy way. Actually, it was through Ravi Zacharias, a cassette tape on courtship.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that, for whatever reason, I prayed that God would arrange my marriage. I never heard of arranged marriages before. And later found out that India has arranged marriages when I got there, but I didn't know about that. So for 6 years, I prayed, God, arrange my marriage, show me clearly who I should marry. I want to know that I know that's the person. And that was actually from the Isaac and Rebecca story, that when Rebecca laid eyes on Isaac, mm-hmm. she knew that was her husband.
Okay, so you get to India, and?
Well, I was just thrilled to be on the foreign mission field that I'd waited for so long. I thought I would go for 1 year initially, maximum 3 years. And even at that point, God had just taken away that desire to be married. And I thought, even if I'm single the rest of my life, that's fine. But 3 weeks down the road, actually, when I first got there, God spoke to me, still small voice, you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks down the road, God just laid this burden on my shoulders, on my heart for Yesupam. I literally felt what he carried as the leader of the ministry.
Mm.
So for 3 days, I was praying for him and really just crying out for him. And the burden was so strong, and I even started praying for a wife for him. And now I want to mention that God has a sense of humor, because there was one thing I desired, and that was a tall, blonde cowboy. So I'm praying for a wife for him. And on the third night at a huge crusade meeting, God spoke to my heart and said, he's your husband.
So he's not tall, not a cowboy.
Not blonde.
But bald, though.
All right. So this is part one. Now we get to part two, and we'll come to this right on the other side of the break, how it is that God brings you together, because there's one other element of this, that the wife-to-be has to propose to the marriage, which is completely breaks every cultural rule and would be completely against your personality and everything that you're supposed to tell him. Look, there are these flaky ladies out there that they tell everybody God showed us we're supposed to marry, but this would have been the opposite. So we get to the rest of the story on the other side of the break. And I want to talk really practically about us here in America with Yesupam before the show is over. Stay right here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so we're talking in the first hour. Maybe one of these years we'll open up one of my India trips to the public, and everyone that wants to come can be part of a special group that goes over there. Never be the same, friends, I assure you of that. This is Michael Brown sitting with Yesu Pottam and Monica, two of my dearest friends in the world. We get to minister together in India and other countries, but the friendship is much deeper than the ministry, and the ministry time is really an excuse for us to see each other. That's probably the biggest part of it. So we're talking about the incredible story of how God brought the two of them together. Cross-cultural marriages are wonderful, but can be very challenging because of the different expectations that you have, different expressions of love, different social customs, just many things. And you don't know until you're in the midst of it how different things can be, what a different world you're in. So Yesu Pottam's first wife had died, was miraculously raised up after dying, was with him for two more years, and then went to be with the Lord. Yesu Pottam was content to be single. In fact, wanted to be single, just focus on the Lord's work. His kids were older now. Other brothers, respected pastors, recommended that he remarry and recommended some fine Indian Christian women to him. He felt not to. So he prayed a prayer meant to be a crazy prayer because he's an Indian. Indian women do not have white skin. They do not have blue eyes. They don't have blonde hair. So he said, all right, if I'm supposed to marry, let the woman have white skin, blue eyes, blonde hair, and she has to tell me where to marry. God sends Monica over, meek, gentle Monica from Canada, white skin, blue eyes, blonde hair. She had prayed that God would show her her husband, that he would arrange things. God shows her she's to marry Yesu Pottam. Now, you don't know what he's prayed. You don't know what he's prayed.
Absolutely not.
But somehow something happens where you are now going to get outside of your comfort zone. So tell the story.
Okay. One thing I wanted to say from the years of waiting, when it was not easy, God gave me a saying, he gives his very best to those who leave the choice to him.
Mm.
And that made
me... She got the best.
Yeah. Who needs a tall, blonde cowboy,
right? That's right. So worth waiting for God's best. And when God spoke to me, this joy and peace came over me, and it was like my life made sense. And I knew I was called to India lifetime and to this man. And so I started praying, Lord, how do I tell him this? We had not spoken more than a handful of times in the 3 weeks I was there. And I thought,
and why did you think that you needed to tell him? Why weren't you just thinking?
I don't know.
All right. Because logically, it would be, okay, we've been in here 3 weeks. Let's see what God has in mind. Or do you consider yourself an impulsive kind of person?
Oh, no.
Again, I'm just asking these
things. I'm not adventuresome. Right. I'm doing everything I do by the grace of God.
Right. And you're Canadian born with German blood, so
yes.
You kind of a systematic approach to things. Okay.
Yeah.
More stiff than spontaneous in terms of background. All right. But you feel you're supposed to say something to him.
Well, the next day I was praying about what had happened, and I said, Lord, do I tell him? What do I do? Because I knew he didn't know, and he had to somehow. So as I was praying, we were in a convoy of vehicles. We were in the same vehicle, and we had a flat tire in the middle of nowhere by one hut. And he and I ended up staying at the side of the road by this hut, and the vehicle left, everyone left to fix the flat tire. And I just felt, this is a setup from God, and I have to say something.
So?
this couple came out of the hut, gave us something to sit on, and we sat down, and I just thought, okay, Lord, I'm just going to go for it. I said, you know, I need to tell you something. Last night, God spoke to me and told me you're my husband.
She did.
And your response?
I was shocked.
Well, he actually said, let's go sit on the other side of the cot. Because the vehicle was coming from the other direction.
I didn't know what to say. I was like, what is this happening here?
And what was the look on his face?
Well, yes, it was shocking.
All right, Ted, I remember the call when Yesu Pottam called Nancy and me to say, what? Is this God? What do I do? Utterly amazing. We grilled Monica. Are you sure? Are you sure? And God was very sure about this. What a delight. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. What a delight it's been to be on this journey together with Yesu Padham and Monica these many years now. So when I first got to know Yesu Padham, it was in the earliest days. The ministry was so small. Things have changed so dramatically, expanded things internationally. I remember, brother, when you gave me a little brochure and you told me about the vision to be in these different nations, I thought, I don't know, it's a guy from India, just America's a new country. It could be. I mean, I want to say it's not God, but it just seemed like, how could it be? And we're all amazed to see what God has done. And your kids, Monica, being raised, amazing kids, Bethany and Benjamin, they're, well, he's not blonde, but he's your tall cowboy. I mean, he's 6 feet tall already. Yes. And what, 15 years old?
Yes.
But they're extraordinary kids. They've been raised completely multiculturally. They've lived in India. They've lived in Germany. They've lived in America, in Canada. They've traveled the world with you. How has it impacted them?
Well, they really have a heart for the nations. They, mm-hmm. Bethany said the other day, she just couldn't live a settled down life. Yeah. She wants to do what we've been doing all our life and be in the ministry, and they both want that.
Amazing. And Yesu Padham, how do you feel having your kids right with you in ministry? They've done everything side by side. You travel together, you live together, you work together, you serve together. What's happened to them because of that?
There's no greater joy than to know that our kids knows our hearts,
yeah,
and want to be a part of what we are doing.
And your older kids, Sunil and Sunita, they're basically the pillars of the
ministry back home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazingly so, with their spouses and their families.
Yeah, with five grandkids.
Yeah.
You know, living in close by in one house.
Yeah.
And working together. That's my joy, and knowing that God is using my children also in the ministry.
Yeah, so it's not like ministry is a separate thing you do. This ministry is the life you live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I see, totally.
All right, let me change subjects and ask you this. Before you were saved, you were literally a communist revolutionary. You mm-hmm. wanted to overthrow the government of India, the caste system, whatever you could do. You wanted to see a social revolution, correct?
Exactly. All giving right. a hope to the untouchable community was my desire.
All right, so you had a positive goal, but totally wrong methods.
Yes.
Stealing from the rich, taking from the rich, violent acts against the rich.
Even killing the rich to feed the poor.
All right.
That was the strategy.
When you came to faith in Jesus, did you lose that sense of revolution and, hey, now it's just Great Commission and win the lost, or are you still a revolutionary?
I still call myself as a revolutionary because that was a hate revolution, but this is a love revolution,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is much more, in many ways, this is totally different. So I feel the same way that I used to feel before, but showing the love of God. I still must see myself as a revolutionist for Jesus, sharing the love of God to the dying world, not only to my people in India, but around the world.
Mm.
So that's how I see myself. That's how I'm traveling the world.
And what about social issues, cultural issues? Should the church be involved in these?
Church should not be separated itself. We are not called to excommunicate ourselves from the world. Jesus said we live in the world, but we are not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a part of it. In the middle of all that, we need to really show them the righteous way of godliness. And mostly, you know, sometimes there are some people like you who are called to really stand firm in, you know, encouraging the church to do some certain things. But to me, like more positive way, even sharing the love of God, gospel, presenting God in a very practical way. The word the Lord gave me was penetrating into the community. So penetrating into the community with the love of God, you know, just sharing the love of God, talking the love of God to the point where will people realize that more than what they're going through, things are happening around them, there is a greater purpose for life. That's eternity.
Mm.
And through Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross. So that dominates me more than anything else.
Yeah. So right there in your home city of Visakhapatnam, where the ministry is based now, well, it's over 2 million people now in the...
Yes, they say close to 4 million people.
Close to four.
Yeah.
So it's really growing.
It's expanded, yes.
Amazing. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have a children's home. How many kids live there full-time?
No, we have 150 each year, given year, but we took care of 4,000 children so far.
4,000?
There, yeah.
Okay. And how many are in the school?
We have over 700 children.
And ages from what to what?
From 2.5 to 16.
Okay. Do you have any classes or schooling beyond that?
We have a nursing school where we train the nurses.
All right,
that's 3.5 years program.
And these the government will send. In other words, okay, you go to this school, you go to this school. So many come in that are not even believers.
Yes, most of them are non-believers.
All right, and then in the tribal regions, planted more than 7,000 churches, and as well as planting in the city and things like that. Do you have a hospital?
Yes, we have a 25-bedded hospital. We're planning for a 100-bedded hospital.
Yeah, if you want to help make that larger hospital come to pass, they have a perfect piece of land for it. Do anything for the old folks?
We have a old age home in Pitapura.
All right. And what about people who are handicapped?
Yeah, we have many of them are still, polio is still bad in India. Many kids born with polio, with no heads, no legs, no hands. And so we train them in computers, tailoring, and printing press. 1 year program, totally free, food, accommodation, and training.
So this way, if they can use their hands, their feet, different limbs, that you can train them.
Yes.
And then they can be self-supporting, which is kind of unheard of.
Exactly. Instead of begging on the street, they start their businesses, get jobs.
Right. It gives them a sense of dignity.
Yes.
All right. You're doing outreach in Germany, building places there for homeless, for drug addicts, for different ones. Extraordinary work in many different nations. So back here in America, you've known me these many years. You've seen how God... We were doing radio together the very first weeks I was on radio. You were in the States with me. But you see how God's burdened me in terms of moral and cultural revolution and sounding the alarm and speaking truth. Why do you think that that's something that's needed also?
Absolutely. That's needed. You know, many times, church has gone too far away from the plan and purposes of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become more a religious entity rather than a Christian revolution.
Mm.
So I believe by God, the way you are doing it, you are reminding the church the responsibility, the social responsibility of the people wherever we live in. So with your voice, it's my prayer, even in the days to come, that you would be a living voice to the church to wake up and to understand the purposes and plans of God for the church on earth to penetrate into the community, to share the love of God, so that the enemy would not get into there and to destroy, who came to steal, to destroy, and to kill. The reason the social problems we are facing today, I believe the church for most part has failed its responsibility and calling and commissioning to share the gospel. So even now with all what you're doing, it's my prayer and desire, church will get the vision of penetrating into the community. Actually, what I did last year, we had elections in India. And many Indians think that we should not get into politics because it's corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt the responsibility as a Christian in India, how important it is for the righteous people to be in the right positions, the policy makers and decision makers. So because of that, a Christian brother became a politician, and he's in a very crucial position in the state government.
Really?
Because of that, Christians are respected, honored in the state government, and he is linking us up with the government, Christians and government. The Lord, I believe, has used Love and Care Ministries this past year to bring the Christians in relationship with the government, to make government understand who we are, how useful we are. And I feel like I'm a bridge between the Christians in the state of Andhra Pradesh and the government through this brother, who is Kishore Babu, who is a Christian politician. So I believe Christians, as Christians, we have the responsibility to the community and society where we are living. And you are doing that. I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you, what you're doing. I know it's not easy for you. It's risky many ways. And, you know, but I think God called you for such a time as this to do what you are doing. And I'm totally with you in this revolution of what God is doing through your life for the whole world, especially for this great nation of United States of America, which was found for the purposes of God on the foundations of the Bible to stand for the truth. May the Lord continue to help you to wake up the church to reach this nation so that this nation can reach the nations for the glory of the living God.
Amen. May it be so. Thank you, dear brother. We will be right back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, right during the break, Ishapadam, you made an interesting comment to me in terms of the different roles that people have in the body. What was that?
Well, during the time of Esther, and she knows what is right, she was brought up in a godly way, but she needed Mordecai to remind her God's plan for her life at such a time as that.
Mm.
And because of that Mordecai's initiative of reminding Esther, God's people and all those nations were saved and the enemy was put to shame.
Mm.
And God's people raised their heads, praising God and thanking God.
So Esther uniquely divinely placed, but Mordecai had to be the one to speak to her. I rarely take calls during interviews like this, but I'm just going to take one before these 2 hours are out. In Asheboro, North Carolina, Todd, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very well, thanks.
So glad to be on the show. My question was to your guest was the time they met one another, how long was it before they went into the ministry? My question being is because I kind of want to paint a picture here. I met my wife in 2005. Actually, prior to that, I had a first marriage, but she kind of left and went to the wayside, and I got in church, and I just kind of felt like my heart was ripped out. Well, I got in church, and I started digging in the Word, and I seek forgiveness for anything that I might have done, and I apologized to her and asked forgiveness of her. Well, it was about a 3.5-year span there, and my tax preparer, he had told me he needed a real good Christian woman for me, and I said, well, whatever, I wasn't really wanting to get into a relationship, but before all this had took place, God had been speaking to me and laying on my heart, real heavy to go into the ministry, and he called me to be an evangelist. Well, my question basically to them is, when I met my wife, I had went to a bookstore, and God laid on my heart to get a journal because he told me, he spoke to me, he said, you and your wife, your girlfriend at the time, or y'all are going to be going to many nations to spread the word. Well, I just kind of dismissed that. Well, I went into a store, and when I left that, I came back to that store, and I said, well, I better go in there. Well, when I went in the store...
Tell you what, I'm just going to jump in, because I know it's a detailed story, and you want to share all the details, but just for time's sake, because we're almost at the end of this hour, Yesupadam had been in full-time active ministry day and night for years when he met Monica. Monica was serving in the ministry there when they met. So from day one of their relationship, they were doing ministry work together. What the adjustment was now to do it as a married couple. But Yesupadam, what would you say to someone who feels called, they don't know if they're ready, is the marriage ready? Is it for the local church to say you're ready? Is it for them to do what they're able to do and let God raise them up? What recommendation would you give?
Well, my recommendation would just keep doing what God called them to do. Just start doing it. And then God will develop them to what he wanted finally in their lives.
So if I really believe I'm called to be an evangelist, should I register a name, a ministry name, and get a website with my name? Or should I start witnessing to lost people?
Just witnessing to the lost people. That's the starting. And then all the rest will follow later.
All right. So, and this is what you've done when God's called you to other nations.
Exactly.
You've just gone and served. You haven't even announced, I am Yesupadam with this famous ministry in India, and I've preached over 1 million people in a single meeting. You don't do any of that.
No, just, you know, every soul is important. If God has called us, how can we not start sharing the gospel with the people one-on-one?
Yeah.
And that's where we should start, right?
And if they're poor people?
Doesn't matter.
Just get what you have. If you share a sandwich, do something.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, thank you for the call, and may the Lord bless and guide you, Todd. Yesupadam, how is it? Well, let me ask this differently. I've always noticed the love that you have for individuals, whether it's little children, whether it's an elderly woman that we're baptizing in one of the trips to India. What if someone says, I just don't feel like I love people the way Jesus wants me to? I do ministry. I know I should, but I just don't feel that I'm not like you. What would you tell them?
God is love. Jesus is love. You know, there's nothing a Christian cannot love. You know, you cannot do something what you don't love. So love is the key for to do anything with God. And then in the Bible says, the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to love the people. And that's what God so loved the world. That's the key. We have to love the people that you're working with. Unless you love them, you can't even share anything with them.
Mm.
It's the love that makes the difference. That's even in Germany, I don't speak the language, but I look at them, I smile at them, I touch them, I give them hugs as I see people crying. How it happens? They're touched by the love of God. It's the love. Without love, it cannot do anything for God. I mean, when it's connected with God, it has to be with love.
And if we feel we don't have it, we go to God, who is the source of love.
Exactly.
And
Romans 5:5.
And Monica, can you attest that this really does work in every nation, in every setting? Obviously, you haven't been to every nation, but as a living cross-culturally, Canadian, German background, living in India, and serving in the nations, does this gospel really work the same everywhere?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And were you surprised to see the fruit in Germany, knowing German culture and background and church life?
Yeah. It was hard at first, but in the recent years, we've seen the fruit. And just keep on going. You know, many times you want to give up because you're not seeing the fruit, but there is a time for breakthrough. And that's what we've seen God do.
Right. So if you've been used to reaping for years, maybe because someone else sowed, now it's time to sow. It can be discouraging, but you know, the harvest will come.
Yes.
In God's time.
So friends, get involved with Yesupadam and Monica. Pray for them. That's something everyone can do. If the Lord prompts you to help with a one-time gift, or better still, the sponsor a child, $25 a month. That is room, clothing, education, food, everything they need. They don't need anything outside of what's provided for them. $25 a month, think of it. $50 a month, you'll support a pastor and his family in the tribal region, reaching lost people, around lost people, day and night, building up churches, spreading the gospel. You can do it by going to lncministries.org. That's LNC as in love and care, lncministries.org. And when you go there, just click on sponsorships. And I put out the call. We'll post it on Facebook later today. If you're a professional web designer, they really need to have their website completely revamped. That'll help to reach so many more people and bring in so many more funds to go right to the poor, the needy, where it really counts, to the lost. If you're a professional videographer or photographer, can make a trip at your expense to India, you'll be changed by going, but they need new photographs. They need a new video. You could really help in an eternal work and use the gifts God's given you. So just where it says contact, do that and contact them via the Indian email address would be the best way to do it, to contact them directly in India. That's lncministries.org. It is my delight to be on the front lines with you as your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. My bottom line today, there are needs everywhere in India, America, wherever you live. If you make yourself available, God will use you.